always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
So what I think, Wendy, is these votes that you mentioned, I think Speaker Johnson sees these as legacy votes when it comes to the FISA 702 bill. I think he doesn't want to go down as the speaker that let that mechanism lapse. And God forbid we had a terrible terrorist attack under his watch and he's responsible for not getting that bill passed. I think it's the same thing with Ukraine. I think he doesn't want to be known as the speaker that lost Ukraine and didn't get funding for Ukraine. Right or wrong, I think that's a reason for a lot of these votes. These are legacy votes, and you see that with people that are Speaker of the House or Majority Leader. They see these votes as legacy votes and how they are going to be looked upon in history.
You know, I've never thought about that. That's a really great point.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 506. That was my appearance over the weekend on the Wendy Bell Common Sense Show on Newsmax, and we were discussing, Tim, the $95 billion package that was signed into law today by President Biden. So that means that Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel will be getting aid. Also within that package was a bill for ByteDance to sell themselves to someone else. That is, they have a year now to do that. And tucked within this bill were provisions to sell Russian assets in order to give them to Ukraine to rebuild. So, been a long debate, long 6 months, but it was passed today. We've talked about it in the past, but your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, I agreed with the sentiments that Johnson doesn't want to be known as the guy who didn't do this, that, or the other thing. On the other hand, he's now going to be known as the speaker who basically helped propel the Biden administration's agenda forward. You look at the last 6 months or so that Johnson's been speaker. Biden can declare a lot of victories because of that speakership. That's what has conservatives rattled. However, the conservatives in the House and the Senate are not going to be able to move their priorities forward unless they start winning more elections. Republicans don't even control the Senate, and they only control the House by one narrow vote, which just causes calamities every single day. So, you know, the message to everyone who would like Speaker Johnson or any future speaker to do more and to do things like secure the border, you're going to have to go vote this fall. You're going to have to vote in droves. You're going to have to get everybody you know to go vote, and you're going to have to get people across the finish line who want to do things like border security, like reining in spending, like not getting engaged in every foreign engagement possible. It comes down to winning elections, and Republicans have not done a good job of that over the last couple cycles.
Tim, speaking of great conservatives, you have one there at the table with you, Senator Ben Brown. Senator, welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show.
Hey, great to be back on.
Excellent, excellent.
That's great.
Tim?
Yeah, it's great to have him here today. And Chris, I thought I would just make him the centerpiece of Joey V is ready. I thought we'd just make him the centerpiece of today's speaker's stump speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the speaker's stump speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
And Chris, you jump in on this too. I thought we would just bring Ben Brown in here and figure out what the heck's going on the Senate side of things in the Missouri Senate with barely three and a half weeks left. Chris, I'll kick it off. I'll just ask Senator Brown about one of his signature items, Chris, that you and I have been following for at least the last two legislative sessions, and that is an effort to ban the scourge of ranked choice voting from ever appearing as a mechanism in Missouri's electoral system. Senator, if I know it's hard to explain, and there's a bunch of different versions, and that's one of the problems with it. Ranked choice voting, what is it? Why is it bad? Why are you seeking to offer the opportunity to Missouri voters to ban the practice of it?
So ranked choice voting is a scheme that's been been pushed in a number of different states. Maine, one well-known case was in the Alaskan election. Mm-hmm. And what this does is, instead of having one person, one vote, as our founders intended and has served this country for hundreds of years, this allows people to select multiple candidates, generally through some kind of ranking system. So what this does is it creates, rather than having a majority of votes, it creates an artificial majority. You go through a process where you have subsequent rounds of tabulations where different candidates get dropped off. So if you happen to choose a candidate that doesn't make it to successive rounds, your vote is essentially trashed. It doesn't count towards the end result. The end result of this is what we're seeing in places like Maine and municipalities in California and other places, is you have elections to where the person that's the victor is not actually the person that received the most amount of votes.
Wow.
Now, why do you think that you would want a system like this? You take power, control away from the actual voter, and you put it more in the hands of the establishment to control who actually has the capability of getting elected in these elections.
Amazing. Hmm.
Senator Brown, the Post-Disgrace is reporting today that the St. Louis police chief is at the Capitol today advocating, of course, for local control. That is one of the big topics there at the Capitol this session. Where is that at right now?
So, you know, I don't know where it is as far as on the House side. You know, that's something that's been pushed for. Senator Nick Schroer has been a huge proponent of that. It's something that I've supported. You know, what we do know is that in St. Louis, the current system is not working. We have crime at an alarming rate. It's driving business. It's driving population away from the city, which should be the economic engine for our state. And it's a very real problem. And one of the issues is that what happens in St. Louis, the city of St. Louis, does not stay in the city of St. Louis. And now you're seeing some of this crime migrate into some surrounding counties, like St. Charles. Mm-hmm. Where I reside in Franklin County and many others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of the city of St. Louis, Senator, they have ranked choice vote. Well, they have some bizarre version of ranked choice voting. I understand a lot of the Democrats don't even like it now that it's been fully deployed. Before we leave your ranked choice voting bill, this is a proposal that will go to Missouri voters to ask them whether they want to ban it or not, right?
Correct.
And you've gotten that all the way through the Senate. It's in the House, right? So we just need action by the House on this in the next 3 weeks. Do you think you have enough time to get it through?
I do. I'm feeling very good about our chances of getting this through. The House version of this bill that was filed has already been third read and passed out of the House. And so I'm very optimistic we'll be able to get this done. And in addition to banning ranked choice voting, which is huge in itself, it would also prohibit non-citizen voting and enshrine that in our Constitution.
Oh, really? That's part of the bill?
It is.
Oh, Chris is probably happy to hear that. Mm-hmm.
I am.
Yeah.
That was something I was very proud to be able to get it through the Senate intact, because, as you know, that was a point of much controversy during the IP debate.
Yes.
We had 3 to 4 days of filibustering over that one specific issue. And so it took a lot of work, a lot of very heated conversations on the sidelines when this bill came up for perfection, but was able to get it through the Senate, and I'm optimistic we'll get it over the finish line in the House.
How interesting that Democrats don't want to prohibit non-citizens from voting in our elections. Chris, go right ahead.
Go figure. Senators, Mr. Speaker and I spoke about this earlier, about the Post-Dispatch article about the defund Planned Parenthood bill that is on its way to the governor's office. Democrats are saying this is going to be a boon for them for their ballot initiative in November. Your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, you know, I think that this was an essential part of, you know, we have this, the federal reimbursement allowance is something that's going to be a big agenda item over the next 3 weeks. And I think in order for that to have a realistic path to passing, there had to be something either in that bill or as part of a companion bill that would prevent tax dollars from going into organizations like Planned Parenthood. So the passage of this, I think, provides a path to get that done and hopefully be able to have some time to get some of the big conservative things over the finish line.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Senator Ben Brown. He's actually my state senator. He represents the city of Eureka and points far westward. Senator, your district goes Franklin County and then...
Yeah, Franklin, Warren, Gascade, Osage, and then the very best part of St. Louis County, the city of Eureka.
That's right. Yeah, St. Louis County, Eureka, and then a big chunk of that mid-Missouri region. Senator, the budget is always a big battle every year. Some years it's less dramatic than others, but the House really threw down on fiscal austerity this year, didn't it? It took the governor's $52 billion budget and pared $2 billion out of that. What do you think of the House position, and what do you think the debate's going to be around? What do you think some of the biggest touch points are going to be around in the Senate when it hits the floor in a few days?
Well, I never thought that I'd be celebrating a $50 billion budget for one. But yeah, I will. At least they're moving things in the right direction. You know, last year, I think there were about an additional $3 billion in markups once it came over to the Senate side. So, you know, I'm not very optimistic about what the final product will look like at this point. It's going through the appropriations process, so, you know, I haven't really had the opportunity to engage and see exactly what that final product could potentially look like. You know, but just going back, as you know, Tim, just 10 years ago, what our budget was, and just seeing that it's inflated to more than double what it was since then, is we have to get this spending under control. It's unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. Senator, last few weeks, we've been speaking with representatives from the Show Me Institute on the Kansas City side about the stadium proposal renovations that was not passed by Kansas City voters a couple of weeks ago. Reported earlier this week, the St. Louis Cardinals may be looking to get Busch Stadium renovated. Your overall thoughts on public financing for sports teams, even if they've won back-to-back Super Bowls?
Oh, you know, I with the price you pay for a hot dog at these events, I would hope that they would be able to afford some renovations.
We talked about that.
Without spending taxpayer dollars. You know, ultimately, if it goes up to a vote and the people in that community have input, I mean, that's one thing. But I'm just very uneasy about government coming in and funding these projects. I just think that, you know, they're making so much money as it is that surely that do we really need to put that burden on the taxpayer? Mm.
Senator Ben Brown, our guest, is part of the Speaker Stump Speech today. We're here in Senator Nick Schroer's office, actually. Senator, you know, a lot of folks at the beginning of session were not overly optimistic about the chances of the legislature doing much of anything this year. However, due to your efforts and many other of the what I call the movement conservatives in the General Assembly, you've all challenged leadership quite a bit and kind of called the question on them and said, you know, just because it's an election year, we got all these people running for statewide office, we don't need to be completely dysfunctional like Washington, D.C. And here we are. I mentioned to Chris the other day that there was this big landfill bill. It doesn't affect us in St. Louis, but it's very important to folks on the western side of the state. That bill is done. It's off to the governor's desk. The House completed that yesterday. The school choice bill, another heavy lift, off to the governor's desk. The defund Planned Parenthood bill, off to the governor's desk. Initiative petition reform needs one more vote in the House, one more vote in the Senate. Your anti-ranked choice voting bill has had new life breathed into it. So these are all really good, positive things. And, you know, I think there's a lot of other work that doesn't get maybe the spotlight that it should. You have a, you told me as we were coming into the segment today that you're the sponsor of a pretty important and major veterans bill. Missouri always does a really good job and has done for a long time of taking care of its veterans. What are some of the biggest components of that bill, and what do you think its chances of success of getting across the finish line are?
So I feel very good about the chances of getting this across the finish line. It just passed out of the Veterans Committee and on the House side. It already passed the Senate with very heavy support. The underlying bill that I filed was addressing an issue. It was actually brought to me by a gentleman and disabled veteran I met on the campaign trail when I was out knocking doors. And he's a disabled veteran. He jumped through all these hoops to get his disability status through the VA, but yet he can't obtain a handicap placard for his vehicle. Mm. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and since then he's lived in three different states. Every other state, you have that letter from the VA, you get your placard. Missouri, we make you book a bunch of additional doctor's appointments, jump through a bunch of additional red tape in order to just achieve that. So that was the main provision. Since then, we've added a lot more. It updates standards for how we address veteran suicide, which is a big issue. Mm-hmm. It creates a new medallion problem, a new medallion program for Operation Enduring Freedom, as well as some others. For any specialty plates, you know, we charge this $15 fee for veterans to get a specialty plate to show off if you are a medal recipient or show your pride in the branch of the military that you served in. I think that the very least the state of Missouri can do for those that fought bravely to fight for our freedoms is to cover the pick up the $15 tab for the mm-hmm. specialty license plate. So those are a few of the aspects on there. There were a few other things that have been added. A tax deduction for signing bonuses, which you already have one for underlying salary, but that would extend it to signing bonuses. I think that, you know, apparently it's pretty rare for these big veterans package to make it through, at least in recent years. So I'm proud that we've been able to move this along, and I'm very optimistic that that one's going to make it over the finish line sooner than later.
Well, thank you for all your efforts on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And speaking with Senator Ben Brown, if those listening want to get more information on your efforts, sir, how can they do that?
So you can find me on social media, Twitter, Ben Brown Tweets, Ben Brown from Missouri, across all social media platforms, or find me on the Senate website. You can learn a little bit more about me, follow my weekly newsletter we put out, or email me directly from the website. So I encourage anyone to reach out, any issues, anything I can assist you with, we'd look forward to hearing from you.
Ben Brown, one final question before we let you go. Our next guest is going to be former Senator Scott Brown from Massachusetts. Any relation?
No, not that I'm aware of.
All right. Maybe we'll ask all us Browns and Joneses are related somehow.
Maybe we'll ask him when we come back. Hey, Senator, thank you so much. And as promised, former Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts, leading a new organization called the Competitiveness Coalition. We'll talk to him about that and other issues of the day. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Now, how was it operating your restaurant during the Trump years?
I would say things were substantially different.
Really?
Meaning I was able to afford things. I wasn't worried about my future as I am now. My food cost was so much lower at that time. I didn't have the stress or the anxiety about tomorrow, you know, just from eating and, you know, supporting myself.
28 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, and no doubt that we had a much better economy under President Trump than we do have now. Part of that was Donald Trump got rid of a lot of regulations that President Obama had put on the economy. President Biden has put those back on the economy. We've got a guest on the line, Tim, that we can talk about that and much more. We're really honored to have former Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. He is currently the chair of the Competitiveness Coalition. He also was an ambassador in the Trump administration. Senator Brown, welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Hey, it's good to hear your voices, and it's good to be back on the air in that part of the area. The last time I was in St. Louis University barred me from speaking. How cool is that?
You know what? I vaguely remember that. I forgot about that.
I'm so hardcore. They just turned on me off campus.
Forgot all about that. Hey, before we get into many of the questions that we have for you, I have to ask you about this FTC ruling that came out yesterday that made non-compete clauses, I guess, basically illegal. What does that do for the competitiveness of American business?
Well, obviously, it creates a problem. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, the FTC under Lina Khan is just a runaway freight train, basically trying to undermine our tech industries, make us less competitive. And this instance is a perfect situation. When somebody executes a non-compete, there has to be consideration. You just can't do it for a dollar. Well, for a dollar, you know, if I hire you and I give you a dollar, you can't work for somebody else. That's not how it is. Usually, in order for them to be valid under any circumstance, you need need to have, you know, consideration. And it's usually of a substantial amount. And what it does is basically allows, you know, employees to basically freeform, take potentially privileged, confidential work product information and bring it to other companies. And it's not a good precedent to set. I think there's laws in effect, not only in your state, but other states that address this very, very real issue. It's a small potatoes when you're talking about that woman you had on who has a restaurant and can't afford. We have so many stories like that around the country, and in here in New Hampshire, the cost of goods under Biden, it's just out of control. Everything's upside down.
Senator, great to speak with you. Tim Jones here. Not that you and I have gotten any older, but many years ago, man, probably 10 years ago or so, when I was in the Missouri legislature, I remember following your candidacy, and you were known as kind of the everyman candidate. You drove your pickup truck all over the state of Massachusetts successfully in your run for office there. And so I just really admired you for all the hard work you've put in trying to serve the country and now continuing to serve it by bringing these important issues to the fore. You mentioned the FTC. Wow. With all the horrors, with all the parade of horribles that the Biden administration has committed, this agency has been one of the worst, hasn't it? And the problems with these agencies is a lot of what they do is flies under the radar. The media, of course, the corporate media does not report on it. But one of the biggest things Lina Khan's trying to do is kind of undo the understanding that we've had forever of what antitrust policy should be, especially from a conservative viewpoint. Could you touch a little bit on that and kind of the dramatic systemic changes that she's trying to make that would be bad for our nation?
Yeah, listen, it used to be a bipartisan, you know, non-confrontational board, just figuring out issues, making sure that we're, you know, being competitive around the world and that we have a competitive advantage over China and other, you know, countries that basically want to eat our lunch. And, you know, any company that's too big, they basically want to bring it, you know, break it up. For example, Amazon, obviously Apple, all these other companies, they want to break them up and they want to change the standard in which they evaluate it. It's not so much now, is it a good price? Is the consumer getting a good price? Is it fair and competitive? It's just, oh, well, if you're too big, we're going to break you up. And what that does is it gives a green light to China, the Chinese Communist Party, to especially when it comes to our high-tech industry. For example, you want Google Maps to pick up the babysitter? You won't have it. You want to have your photo apps downloaded so your grandmother can see it? This is not happening. So they're allowing for a potential backdoor, not only for bad actors, but for other countries to basically get into our tech industry, which is the number one employer, number one innovator in the world, and they want that position. And that's what she's doing. She's working with the EU, working behind and going behind people's backs, not answering subpoenas, not going to Congress and telling the truth. And yeah, she's hopefully her days are very, very numbered. And here's what people need to remember. You see Biden bumbling and fumbling and falling and doesn't know where he is and where he's going. But behind the scenes, you have people like her and these ideologues who are basically, you know, running rampant and putting more and more and more regulations and making our lives more and more and more difficult. And they're not stopping until, you know, hopefully we get them out of office.
Speaking with Scott Brown, former U.S. Senator from Massachusetts and chair of the Competitiveness Coalition. Senator, the Labor Department announced that it's hiking the threshold for workers to receive overtime pay. They're saying that this should give about 4 million more people higher salaries. You wrote an op-ed with the title that life under Biden more costly for everyone but those on top. This new Labor Department ruling is going to help those people, right?
Well, listen, I'm all in favor of people getting a fair wage and a competitive wage, but when you have the federal government trying to set the standard, you know, since when has the federal government been doing anything right? The post office is billions of dollars in debt. The Veterans Administration, there are some angels that work there, but, you know, let's be real. The coverage is that are happening, they're not good. You have Obamacare, you know, it's all screwed up, and now they want to get involved in telling people what they can and can't pay. And I'll tell you what, if you're a good worker, you're going to get paid. If you're not doing a job, you're not going to get paid. And that's my philosophy. And I just think the government should just stay out of, you know, the private sector and let people, you know, do their jobs and do it really well.
Senator, the other effect that some of these agencies, like the FTC and others, are that, you know, maybe people aren't connecting the dots here, but with, you know, with Lina Khan and these other unelected bureaucrats basically deciding just to kind of bend the law to their own devices, that's having a lot of real world consequences, right? You know, it's one thing to say, oh, we're going to go after big bad corporate America and break them all up. Well, you know, that causes prices to increase. Then when you have Bidenflation on top of it, I mean, everything the Biden administration is doing, whether it's the reality or not, it sure appears like these are attacks on the middle class. The middle class suffers from all this, whereas the media couches it like they're taking on big bad corporate America. But the effect is the middle class are the ones who are suffering, right?
Listen, people aren't stupid. I mean, really, the people in our country are not stupid. The working people are out there every single day. They walk into the grocery stores. I do all the shopping. I love to shop, you know, in and out like a freight train. But I know what eggs were when I got back from New Zealand. You know, they were $1.80. Gas at BJ's with my BJ's card was, you know, $1.82. And now I just paid today almost $4. Eggs were almost $4. It's not right. You go in for a pot roast and it's out of sight. So people aren't stupid. And yes, you know, like I said, take the EPA, you know, all the rules and regulations that they're putting, they've been slapped down in the Supreme Court. You know, you have a lot of these unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, as you said, that are making our lives more and more and more difficult. You speak to any mom and pop business and the amount that they're paying for electricity, for insurance, for wages, for the cost of goods, their margin is shrinking. These fast food places, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever, you know, the answer for your senators, because I know them, is to say, oh, just tax those corporations more. Well, they're were at a 3% margin, and now they're basically down to a 1% margin, you know, of making money and hiring people. That's why you see the automation. That's why you see a lot of the changes that you have, or that's why you see people just saying, you know what, I'm done. And then have the expiring tax code that President tax benefits that President Trump put in. Mm-hmm. Biden's just going to let them go away. So you have these, let's say, a farm or a business that's been in for generations, like the jewelry company you were referencing. They want to sell it or give it to their kids. It's a problem. You know, they're going to have a real tax problem. So people, it's the small things that people don't realize. They just see the headlines in the news. But, you know, we are in trouble financially. When I was there, $9 trillion national debt. That's $34 trillion. Are you kidding me? And what's happening on our college campuses right now, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, we need to get involved. Your listeners, my friends and family, we need to get involved, whether it's at the school committee, you know, city council, you know, I don't care if you're at the cemetery commission, you got to get involved, you know, and start to push back.
Speaking with Scott Brown, former U.S. Senator and chair of the Competitiveness Coalition. Senator, tell us about the Competitiveness Coalition. I will not try to say that again.
Yeah, I know. Try it three times fast. Forget about it. Listen, it's a group of individuals and businesses who care that Congress is putting more and more, and unelected bureaucrats, more and more regulations and roadblocks on our innovators. You know, even if it's a new innovator, the hoops they have to go through to compete on a global basis are out of control. And you have Biden, one that wants to raise the corporate tax rate again. You know, that makes us less competitive when you have, you know, Ireland and China and other countries more competitive in that regard. And I'll tell you what, you know, I work hard. I mean, I work hard just like you do. Three or four jobs my whole life. And the value of our dollars, it's shrinking. And this administration had, just because they didn't like Trump, reversed every single executive order, including at the border, which, as you know, is dramatically affecting budgets in every state. Every state is a border state. And it's just not right. And it's not necessary. You know, just do your job, Mr. Biden. Jeez.
Folks, speaking to Senator Scott Brown. Senator, what do you think the message should be? I think we've touched on a lot of the messages, but, you know, if you had to boil it all down, you know, what do Republicans, those on the center right side of the aisle, what case needs to be made as we head towards what's going to be a bruising electoral cycle? It seems like the Democrats are doing everything they can to lose many of their traditional voting blocks. So a lot of opportunity out there for the Republican Party, right? If they message it and promise to deliver on results, right?
Well, here's what people are doing. They're looking back almost 4 years ago and seeing what, under President Trump, like the woman that spoke, the restaurant owner, you know, things were better. The border was secure. Inflation was non-existent. Fentanyl was not flowing as crazily as it was. Yes, we had the pandemic, you know, created by China, and we were getting out of that. And President Trump, you know, did what he could do, you know, something that will hopefully never happen in our lifetimes. But then you have our military strong. We are feared by our foes and trusted by our allies. And it's not happening now. So, yes, people are going to reflect back as to how it was. Then they're going to see what it's like under Biden. And, yes, they'll have Dobbs and they'll have a lot of the decisions in that regard. But then does that trump the chaos at the border? Does that trump the lack of support, the fact that people don't have $1,000 in their savings account in the case of an emergency? Does that trump people dying on the streets through gun violence and through fentanyl? And they're going to have to make a decision. We have to do just what the Democrats do. You got to get out there and do the harvesting. Whatever's legal, you do it, because they're going to do it, and they'll probably do it a little bit better. So we got to get out and vote and get active and push back, because this is it, folks. And I'm not making this up.
Senator, before we wrap up here, I've got to ask you the big question that has always been on my mind. How in the world did a Republican win a Senate seat, the lion of the Senate seat, Ted Kennedy, back in 2010 there in Massachusetts? How did that happen?
Well, listen, I was down 41 points. I ended up winning by 7 in 6 months. And it was through, as you said, that hard work and just being, you know, honest with people. You know, they wanted a change. They wanted somebody different. And they wanted somebody who's going to be honest. And I lost, you know, 3 years later because, you know, President Obama and the mayor of Boston, they didn't like what I was doing. I was doing my job. And I was threatening them. They didn't want me to run for president. They didn't want me to threaten Obama. So they, you know, they spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. But I'll tell you what, you know, I'm getting antsy again because I can't stand what's going on. And you know, I'm young enough, and I'm even though I have a rock band and we just opened up Skid Row 3 months ago, I'm making a ton of money. I may just have to shift gears here, folks. You know what I mean?
All right. Are you making some news here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show there, Senator?
Well, you know what? It's no secret. I think anybody who cares about this country better reevaluate and get involved, because you can't have the people running this country who are doing it. You see what's happening in our campuses. You see what's happening in some of our courts. You see what's happening on our streets. And if we don't get involved, then, you know, what's the point? You know, really.
And let's put a plug in there for the band here. The name is
Scott Brown and the Diplomats. You can go to scottbrown-diplomats.com. We're performing all over New England. We may be at the convention this year. We're just working that through. Nice. And opened up for Skid Row, which was very, very cool. Sold out show. And
so are you a metal band there?
Classic rock. We go from Dion up to Blink-182, Green Day, you know, Led Zeppelin, Kiss. Cool. Cheap Trick, and I personally played with Cheap Trick 8 times. You know, Warren, Firehouse, you know, Buck Dahmer with Bluish to Cult, Vanilla Fudge. So, yeah, I love to play. I've been playing for about 9 years now.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, that is
very cool.
Former Senator Scott Brown from Massachusetts, chair of the Competitiveness Coalition, and he has his own rock band that's called Scott Brown and the Diplomats. Look them up on the internet. You can catch him on Twitter at Senator Scott Brown and the Competitiveness Coalition.com. Senator, it's been a real pleasure, and I hope we can have you back on the show again.
Hey, anytime. I'd be honored. It was great talking with you both.
God bless you,
and God bless all your listeners.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Boy, what a well-rounded guy there. I didn't know he had all of those talents.
What a cool dude. He plays like Mike Ferguson music, you know? I mean, it's all the 80s and 90s, the classic rock, the hard rock, the hair band stuff. Yeah, I'll have to check him out. I bet he's pretty good.
And you know what? Maybe we can have Joey find a little bit of his music during the break.
Yes.
And bring us back in with some of his music. One thing that I found very interesting, Tim, and he was born in 1959, so he's 7 years older than me, so he's 65, which is young when it comes to politics now. Nowadays, we've got two guys that are close to 80 running for president, 80s running in the president. So I found that very interesting. Scott Brown may not be finished with politics.
Mm-hmm. To paraphrase Donald Trump, he sounds like a young, vibrant man. Yeah,
he does.
Why not, Chrissy?
He does.
And he sounds like a happy warrior, too. I really enjoyed that conversation. That was fun.
I did, too. I'm glad that we got him booked, and maybe we'll hear a little bit of his music when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. They see wealth, exceptional wealth, across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down.
5:50 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. A pretty dire warnings, dire things going on there, Tim. I would take exception to one thing that person said there when talking about young people not having children. I think young people are having children. They're just aborting those kids. And we saw with the over-the-counter abortion pills now, you can take them in your home and make it easy peasy like that. So I think young people are having just as much sex. I think with abortion and with these pills being readily available, I think we're just seeing that.
Yeah, call me a crazy conspiracy theory all you want, but all the conspiracy theories that we have predicted have come true. This is all part of the New World Order, the World Economic Forum. Chris, the elites on our planet in the United States and around the globe, they believe they've got this cockamamie notion in their heads, somehow based on nothing, I guess, the science, that the world is overpopulated, right? That's what it all comes down to. They believe that humans are bad, right? Except for them. They're fine. They should be allowed to fly around the planet on, you know, G4 Falcon jets and eat caviar in Geneva. But, you know, all of us little people, there's too many of us. There's too many of us little people running around. There needs to be less of us. The earth is overpopulated. You ever flown over the United States of America and looked down? Our country's got plenty of room, and so does the rest of the planet. But they have this idea that humans are basically bad. And so they don't want us driving gasoline-powered cars anymore. They don't want us to have the right and the privilege to travel, except for them, of course. They don't want us to be having children, right? And so the Green New Energy Deal, it's all this made up fable fairy tale, but the reaction, the effects are really dangerous, right? They've done the studies in China and in the US. You go out 25, 30, 40 years, and we're going to have a serious underpopulation problem on this planet. There's not going to be enough workers. Systems are going to start failing. These leftists and these elitists, these are all really bad ideas. And I hope people are starting to figure it out.
Yeah, you gave me a thought with your thoughts there that, you know, we know that the Democrats and liberals are huge on abortion. It's their holy grail almost. They will do anything to protect it. Mm-hmm. And they realize that there is a shortage of babies in this country and younger people, of course. And, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why they are so hell-bent on importing everyone around the country into our country, because they know that because of the declining birth rates, there just aren't going to be enough workers. And so in order to counter that, we need to start important people. We've talked about here where some of these leftist economists say that all of these illegal migrants have actually kept inflation down and are actually helping the economy because we have such a shortage of workers. They're almost giving the game away, telling us that this is what they want.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I said it at the top of the show. I'll say it again and I'll defend it. Democrats are a death cult. They really are. Look at their stance against Jewish Americans that has really come to, you know what, Chris, at least they're not hiding it anymore. Back in the day when you and I and others would make these accusations about how crazy the Democratic Party was becoming by this weird lurch to leftism, people would laugh at us. They say we had tinfoil hats on. These are crazy conspiracy theories. Well, they've ripped the Band-Aid off and they're now showing us who they are. You know, basically, there is a segment of them that is literally advocating for the genocide of Jewish people. They want abortion on demand up until the point of birth, and in some cases, maybe beyond. I mean, they are a freaking death cult. And so their answer is, If we have a labor problem, let's just open up our southern border and we'll let everybody in. Doesn't matter who they are, where they came from, what their criminal record was, and what are we going to do with them when they get here? We'll just figure that all out later.
Yeah. You know, Tim, I know that you've got one daughter that's in college. You have another daughter that has started high school. So you're going to, you know, next 4 or 5 years, you may be a empty nester. There are people that are in your condition, Tim, that are hiring what they're calling empty nester life coaches. This may be something that you may want to look in. This is
really
for help for kids who are specializing in the transition surrounding a child's departure. You know, parents are much more involved in their children's lives today than they were a few years ago during the Latchkey Kids era. This is what coaches tell Axios. So when kids peace out, it can hit the parents extra hard. These coaches, Tim, can help you and your wife confront and process their emotions. One client did a tap dance recital at age 60, and others have launched their own businesses or gone back to school to get a doctorate. So have you and your wife, Suzanne, thought about what you're going to do once you're empty nesters? You're going to take cha-cha lessons or something, or learn a language, or what?
Well, I am the ever the romantic, Chris. So we'll probably just, you know, travel the globe in a sailboat or something. It'll be like Romancing the Stone. But no, Chris, there's a lot of weirdness going on in my head. But I don't need to invite any more counselors into it. Suzanne's got a counseling background, so it's just a lot cheaper and easier just to have her put me on the couch. Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll probably do.
And to close out the show, Tim, we've talked about this earlier today. Just from our generation to the kids today, how they don't go outside; they spend all their time online playing games. Just had some stats here that since the 1970s, America's childhood obesity rate has tripled. The screen time comes with a lot of anxiety. Of course, that's on the rise. This is just absolutely amazing to me. It says that today's kids spend an average of just 4 to 7 minutes playing outside, according to the National Parks and Recreation Association estimates. 4 to 7 minutes. 1 in 10 kids walk or bike to school. That was compared with 4 in 10 in 1969, Tim. And the average teen walks fewer than 5 miles per week than they did in the 1990s. So these kids, they're just not exercising, man. Spending all their time inside.
Man, get outside. It is a beautiful week. We have been blessed with some gorgeous weather. Put the phone down. Put on the walking shoes. Go out and smell the roses. Chris, I promise our listeners, everybody will feel better for it. I myself have taken that advice. I did a bunch of walking early in the week. I can't wait to get outside later in the weekend. Yeah, put the telephone and the devices down and look at God's great, beautiful creation.
Tomorrow, the Tim Jones and Chris Arms Show will be out at Johnny's Hideout, so you can catch us out there tomorrow. Coming up, Larry Connors USA. Larry's going to talk about all the big issues of the day, especially the Trump trial. You have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.